Sure. Well, first of all, I'm a miracle child. I'm not supposed to be here. And there's a lot of circumstances that meant by human standards I shouldn't be here.
Well,
but God had a different story and a different plan in mind for that. So I've come to discover that sometimes the cost of worship means we have to worship through the questions.
You can do a lot. A lot.
Yep.
Without him.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what you do. A million times zero is still zero.
We've lost what it means to be holy. You know?
Say it. Mm. Yes.
Which means set apart. Yeah. Which means we don't look like the world.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Tim Oladere, also known as Dappy TKs. Welcome back to the Worship Well podcast. I'm so excited to be with you on this podcast today. And with me is my very good friend in the city of Ottawa. He's a worship leader. He's a worship pastor. His name is Josiah Mills. I'm so excited for him to take the time out to be with us on this podcast today. So, Josiah, welcome.
Come on, brother. It's good to be here.
Thank you for doing this. I know we've been planning to do this for a while now, and schedule was just not working out. No, but
the weapon was formed. It didn't prosper.
It did not prosper. Yeah. And I know that there's a lot we've talked about, you know, even when we grabbed lunch a few weeks ago. And I'm just happy to sit down and actually record some of our conversations. So,
amen.
It's pretty much inviting people into our private space.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Spoken a lot about the things we're going to talk about today, but I know that sharing it with more people would actually be more beneficial, and I think it would be helpful to the body of Christ, to the worship teams in the city, and even beyond the city as well. So, thank you for doing this.
It's an honor, and like you said, it's something beautiful when what's happening in private before the Lord overflows.
Yeah.
And that's really what our worship is called to be.
Absolutely.
Too. You've talked about that a lot, I really agree with that.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to just share from the heart with you today, brother, and this is
awesome. So for those who don't know who you are, let's start with that.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Josiah?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm a miracle child. I'm not supposed to be here. That's not a brag. It's just, it's something that has kept my focus in the right place right from the start. And there's a lot of circumstances that meant by human standards, I shouldn't be here.
Wow.
But God had a different story and a different plan in mind for that. So, amen. If that doesn't invoke thankfulness, right?
Absolutely.
So we start there, and then just going through my life, I always knew that I loved to worship the Lord and praise mm-hmm. Him mm-hmm. from a young age. And I thankfully grew up in a church family mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they got that.
Yeah.
We were a small, simple church, and we just loved to praise Him and see what the Spirit would do, right? Still word-based, of course, but there was just a beautiful simplicity to it.
Yeah.
And I just hooked on to that from a young age. But I didn't think that I would be in music or creative ministry. I just knew I loved it.
Yeah.
And then some point along the way, I just started to do music. It started with piano, then it went to guitar. And then at that point, I was like, oh, but I'm never going to sing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, God starts opening up doors through youth group, right, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I say all that, though, is because the story points out something about my life. Yes, I have a title of pastor. Yeah, I have a title of worship leader. You could even say I have a title of a retreat host. My mom and I run a Christian retreat center just outside of Ottawa, Bethesda
amazing.
Renewal Center. And and I love that. And I love seeing what God does in all those spheres. But the thing about me that I've had to come to wrestle with throughout the years and accept and appreciate is that I'm not anything that's defined by a title.
Mm. Yes, sir.
I'm a worshiper
of
the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And some people might say, oh, that's easy to say, but when you have to learn what the cost of worship is,
mm-hmm.
end of seeking God, no matter what. Yeah, it's a journey you'd never want to give up, but it's not an easy one, is it? So
yes, yes.
So yeah, so that's a bit about me. And I love what I get to do now, not just as a retreat host, but as a pastor. It's such a joy.
Absolutely.
I get to help organize a youth conference in the city called No Other Name as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love all that, but in the end, it all comes back to just encountering Jesus, and that's the best part of life.
No, man, thank you for sharing that. And I think somebody said that to be thankful, you just need two things, a breath and a memory.
Amen to that.
Psalm 150 said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Mm.
And you just need the memory. And that's what you just did. You just remembered. Like you said, you were not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You had a memory of that. And that is Thanksgiving. And that is really worship right there. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, well, no. And now you're going to get me preaching here.
Yeah, preach on, brother.
But it's so true, isn't it? Because we see throughout the scriptures, all times, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like you were saying in the Psalms, it's filled with thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Even you look back in Genesis, and even then, people were beginning to discover the faithfulness of God, even closer to the beginning of time, right? Yeah, and so there's just that theme that's echoed throughout generations, and that's why I think if we get caught in the present too much, or we get caught looking to the future too much, we forget what it's all about. It's about the relationship with God that's defined by his faithfulness in the past, which shows how he's going to be faithful now and in the future, right? So we can't forget the past.
No, we can't. I mean, there are some things we have to forget. Like God said that, you know what, do not call to mind all things, but there's some things that we cannot forget.
That's right.
We cannot. The moment we forget the benefits, the goodness, the faithfulness of God in the past,
that's right,
it will struggle in the present and in the future.
Come on. And what is our focus?
Absolutely.
I think that's what it comes down to, right?
Absolutely.
Because, well, it's always good to go back to the Word.
Please, yes.
And Colossians 3, we love this passage. We talk about it a lot within our settings, but it's worth mentioning again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Yes.
Right? And it keeps going. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father.
Yes, sir.
Through him. So again, it's just that beautiful rhythm of thankfulness.
Yes.
And you can tell when someone is walking in thankfulness, and you can tell when someone is distracted.
Yes.
And we can be thankful when we're in pain. We can be thankful when there's hard times. So I'm not trying to diminish when people are feeling rough, but it shouldn't diminish the thankfulness and the gratitude we have towards the Lord.
Absolutely.
I think it's so powerful. Like songs like Brandon Lake's Gratitude right now are just going up in terms of people grabbing a hold of it, because I think it's speaking to something we've forgotten for a while. We got too comfortable with religion.
Right, right.
A lot of people just got too comfortable with the normal rhythms, and we forgot to actually remember and give thanks. Like, wow, God has brought us from here to here, and he's going to bring us to there. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's one of those things where I think we really got to focus on this. So amen.
Yeah. Amen. And I know that we're still going to get into talking about more about the cost of worship and even what you're saying right now, being thankful in the midst of the mess.
That's it.
In the midst of the difficulty, the problems, and the rest of it. We're going to talk more about that.
Amen.
But there was something that you said earlier that I wanted to kind of piggyback on, which is you were talking about not allowing your titles, to rob you of being a worshiper. And I guess the question is, how do you do that? Like, because I know sometimes, you know, you can get caught up in, I'm a pastor, I'm a worship leader, I'm a this, I'm a that, that we lose the heart of being a worshiper, just being like a child before God. Like, you know, I'm a child of God, right? because sometimes some people just get caught up in all this title thing, and everybody's trying to say, okay, these are my accomplishments, this is what I've done,
that's right,
this is my bio, you know, can you match that kind of thing? But how do we not lose?
Here's my PDF bio.
You think I'm trying to say, right? You know,
exactly.
How do we not lose the heart of a worshiper in the midst of all that? And right. obviously, we're thankful for all the things that God has helped us to do and done through us.
Right.
But how do we not lose that core of being a worshiper?
Yeah.
You know, outside mm-hmm. of all that.
I think, again, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. We're a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, going back to the comfort statement, the Holy Spirit's supposed to be our comforter.
Yes.
Not the things of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Not the pleasantries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me, when I go look at Romans 12, that's become a bit of a life passage for me. Mm. The whole of it is so rich, but just how it starts, it just sets up the rest of it. Devote your, put yourself on the altar, basically.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Put yourself on the altar. And when you do that, the titles are all stripped away
mm-hmm.
because you're aware of the fact that God sees you.
Yes.
God knows you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity to get even that much closer to God.
Yes, yes.
And yes. walk towards knowing him more, just as we're fully known, as we read in 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's such a powerful thing that it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. Mm. It's a choice though.
Yeah.
As well. And it's a daily choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another passage that just sits well, this it's actually on a ring that I have here. It's Galatians 2:20.
I've been crucified.
Is it okay if I just read that again?
Absolutely. Let's read it. Yeah. I've been crucified with Christ.
Come on, man. Guy, you're just quoting it. I love it. Go for it. I want to take a moment to read some of the context though, because
yeah.
I think this speaks to the heart of this question
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's do it.
But if in our, so starting verse 17, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ,
mm-hmm.
we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
And then verse we don't always read, I do not nullify the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose.
Yes, sir.
See, for me, it's not about a title as much as it is, again, a lifestyle of dying to myself.
Yes, sir.
But also, I don't call myself a sinner anymore. I don't call myself someone who is defined by that. Mm-hmm. Yes, Scripture's clear. We all are still sinful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that doesn't mean our identity is sinner
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Anymore,
yep, yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we're focused on the title of I am Christ's, I'm dead to myself, then all of a sudden that focus not only defines a life of integrity, but it defines I don't care what title I have.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Even though I'm blessed by,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to come back to a bit of my journey towards that title, because that in itself was a miracle in my story.
Yeah,
but
in
the end, it's all going to be burned away except
absolutely.
For Christ.
Absolutely.
Christ in my life.
Absolutely.
And the Holy Spirit's
yes.
presence indwelling, right? And,
yes. Yes.
And God our Father's favor. So that to me is how I think... Not just for myself, but I think that's just how we all
mm-hmm.
can, the mindset, right? The posture.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, how God orchestrates it is that's everyone's individual story. But,
gotcha. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And I know you said that this music thing started from when you were a child.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You've been a lover of music and worship and the rest of it. But was there a point in your journey where you felt that God is calling me into this space, into the ministry of worship that is now more than just a hobby or something that I love doing. It's now God is asking me to actually steward this? Was there a point in your journey that you felt that?
Absolutely. Enter youth group. Thank God for youth group,
yes,
right?
Yes, Lord.
You know, I think so many times as adults, we can forget that that's where God loves to start things. It's in children's ministry.
Yes,
it's
sir.
In youth ministry.
Yes, sir.
So we shouldn't treat these kids as dumb.
We
open up the doors and let them be the generation that seeks the face of the God of Jacob, right?
Amen.
Because that's where it's at for me. And so I always mix up the math on this. I think I was 12. I was just in junior high. I know that just starting junior high, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And my youth pastor at the time just came up to me and said, "Hey, I know you play guitar and I know you love to worship the Lord. I want to start our group in singing," because we were a small group.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Hey, I would really love if you'd consider doing that." And something, I just had a sense in that moment that if I didn't pray about this, mm-hmm. and if I didn't think about this,
mm-hmm.
I would potentially be missing a huge part of the direction of God's will in my life. Mm. And so I said, "Can I go pray about this?" Because that's what I sounded like back then.
He
should not have asked me to sing. He was kind to do that. But but that's where it started. And it just continued through youth group. And then more opportunities kept coming through youth group, not just in youth group, but within what we would call big church, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then different churches and ministries mm-hmm. around the region.
Yeah.
And just, I never had to push open a door. And that's, again, it's not a bragging thing, because if you would have heard my voice back then, it was mm-hmm. only the Lord keeping the doors open.
Yes, sir. Yes,
it was,
sir.
It was rough, but, mm-hmm. But it was just that it was God opening doors
mm-hmm.
and keeping the fire burning for that. And mm-hmm. it just sort of, I just knew that I didn't want to force it,
mm-hmm.
but however long God had me in that, I'd obey and mm-hmm. I'd learn as much as I could and I'd love it. But it really was in those first teenage years that
mm-hmm.
the foundation and really a lot of the building blocks came into play. So,
I really like what you said, that you didn't want to force it.
No.
Because I think sometimes we feel like God needs help.
So true.
We feel like, let me help God out. You know, God is not acting fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pick up the pace, man. I got places to go.
Yeah. Like, hey, okay, you've let me do this, therefore it must mean this, right?
Yeah, and then we just kind of, and most of the time we run ahead of God.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to, almost taking things into our own hands, right? Okay, I'm just going to figure this out. But allowing God to actually prepare you and wait on his timing, like you say, you didn't want to force it. You just kind of trusted God with the journey and said, "God, you know what? When the time is right, we'll get to do this."
Yeah.
But right now, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
And it was wild.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
And it still is, because we don't just have to start well.
Mm-hmm.
We can continue in a pattern of, okay, Lord, would you please lead?
Yes.
And it's something that I think even just in my generation, at least, I think that's something that my generation struggles with a bit.
Yes, yes.
Especially when they're exposed to God speaking here and now, right? They're always like, "Lord, I want the next word. I want the next thing." And sometimes I think God just wants us to sit in it, learn in
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
walk in it, be faithful in it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and not just keep, "Oh, what's next? What's next?"
Yes.
Because he'll prepare that.
Absolutely.
And he wants us to stay pure in it. And I think part of it is just enjoying the process, or learning to, or mm-hmm. at the very least,
mm-hmm.
again, being steadfast in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Yeah. I heard someone said that progress is not always movement.
Mm.
Progress is not always movement. That the fact that you're moving, if you're not moving because God told you to move, that's not progress.
Mm, that's good.
You're just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Everybody might think you're actually making progress because they see what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if the movement is not directed by God, it's not progress.
That's right.
If God told you to stay still and stay there, and you stay there, that's progress.
That's right.
Because you're where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do.
That's right.
And so we got to understand that, yeah, the fact that I'm busy, I'm active, I'm moving, doesn't actually mean that I'm actually, in the eyes of God, making progress.
Yeah.
I could just be sitting here right now doing what I'm doing right now. And God said, I love it because you're doing what I told you to do.
Exactly.
And in God's eyes, that's progress.
Yeah.
And I'll take that.
Amen to that. Well, look at Jesus's life here on earth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did everything wrong in terms of that standard that we have.
Yeah.
He didn't put his name up on the billboards.
Yes, sir.
He didn't have a number one hit or anything that.
Yeah.
Like, and he would have moments where people would go, whoa, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then he'd literally go to the quietest place he could go.
Go the opposite.
Yeah, he'd run from it.
Absolutely.
Because they wanted to make him king. And he said, yeah, that's my identity, but I don't want it to be done in the way of man.
Yes.
And sometimes, and I'm not saying that advertising is of the devil or anything that.
No.
And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to be shrewd and even strategic. That's that's not what I'm here to say. But what I'm here to say is if it looks different and everyone else is saying, well, this is how it needs to be done in order to be a success.
Yeah.
I'm not saying run from it, but I'm saying just don't jump into it without talking to your father.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? That's the key word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus would do.
Absolutely.
He would only do what the will of the Father was.
Absolutely.
And people thought he was crazy at times.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who won in the end.
Absolutely.
And who's going to win in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a story in the book of Mark 1:35 when the Bible says Jesus would leave into a desolate place to pray.
Yeah.
And then the disciples were looking for him. Everybody was looking for him. So they finally found Jesus and said, where have you been? Kind of thing, right? Like, everyone is looking for you. Everyone has been waiting for you. Where have you been? Like, we've been looking everywhere.
Yep.
And guess what Jesus said? Let's go to the next town.
Yeah.
He totally dismissed what they said. Like, you know, like, everyone is looking for me. I want to go see everyone that's looking for me.
Yeah.
It was like, forget them. Let's go the other way.
That's
and like you rightly said, and I believe that it was during that time of really speaking to his father that God told him, hey, I've got something else for you to do. And he ran away from what we would all have run towards. Because, you know, in this time and age, right, it's about the following, the social appearance, and all the numbers. Yeah. And now you're going to leave all the numbers and go? Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Come on now. You got it.
All right. So let me ask you this question. Can you share a personal, because, okay, we know that worship, there's a cost to worship.
Yeah.
Can you share a personal story where following God in worship has required a sacrifice of you? Like, I know you have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
So
let's hang tight, folks.
Let's
go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up another wonderful scripture here.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give some context before I read it. When I was a teenager, I received my first concussion and a whiplash, and it was pretty bad.
Wow.
Almost completely incapacitated at some points. Some days, you know, people would say, oh, you look fine, but then get home and just an absolute wreck kind of deal. And ministry was really starting. Well, our life is ministry, but the vocational ministry I was becoming a part of was really starting to take off more. And I just remember saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, well, I guess I just got to put it all on the back burner for now, right? And it was one of those instances where the voice of the Lord started to break through a lot of the noise that was going on in my head. And I heard him say, no. And I'm like, what? And he reminded me of this passage. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When we look at the context of that scripture, that scripture is talking about Paul, and he had a thorn in his flesh. So not necessarily an injury. It was more of a spiritual battle that was going on, a messenger of Satan, right? And we see that same language throughout scripture within a similar context of thorn. It's it's neighboring spiritual battles that come to prick and to test, as it were. And so in this case, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that the injury or the messenger from Satan was from God, because God doesn't persecute his own kids, right? But he does redeem every situation. And part of the redemption of a situation is to see where our hearts are really at. And we see that again through all scripture, even in Job, a bit of a different context, but similar heart and bit of a parallel to this. And so when God said that to me, I went, all right, let's see what happens. And we started to see miracles. My ma, she's I call her my roadie, because she's been incredible all my life, but especially through this journey. This wasn't my only concussion. This was the first of many to follow. So I've had four at this point. And a number of skeletal injuries. I've had scoliosis. I still have scoliosis technically, but it was at a point where it almost warranted surgery. It was this close, and then thank God I was able to avoid it. And so that buildup of injuries and brain trauma has meant a few things. One of the things has meant that I actually still can't drive a vehicle. Now, around the retreat center, I can drive the tractors, which is great. So I love that. I love mowing lawns. It's great. But this is something that certainly is a hindrance when you're, one, rural, and two, in vocational ministry. It's like, how does this work? And so I thank God for a mom who throughout the years has been such a faithful prayer warrior, and someone who has just helped without any strings attached. Just, this is your calling. I'm gonna support you in that. And friends who've rallied around as well and helped with that too. But another thing it meant was that when I tried to do post-secondary and tried to go through seminary, I couldn't. Just my brain just was not doing well with it. And that was a very hard time for me, because I'd go lead musical worship somewhere, and I'd see people get healed right in front of me. Right? And which I love. But then I'd be like, Lord, am I the problem? Like, am I holding back the healing, you know? And we have to be careful, of course. We don't accept a victim mentality, because you know, we know that in Christ we are healed. You know? And that we are not broken as the world counts us as broken within Christ. Similar to that, what we were talking about earlier, yes, we can still be sinful, but we're not sinners anymore. And so in that time for me, it's just, I had to wrestle with this whole thing. On all throughout the pain. Because for 3 years straight, I was in level 10 pain every day, every night. And could barely at times walk or do anything. I couldn't even hold a book without pain shooting through my body. Yeah, it was just crazy. And God, every time I needed to do something, God would give me strength to do it. So I'd go up on a platform to lead musical worship. And most of the time I would not feel pain at all. And it wasn't just an adrenaline rush, because let me tell you, sometimes it, most of the time it was a sacrifice to just step into the building that day. It wasn't just oh, great, we're here. It was brutal. But while I was on the platform, God would give the grace for me to not experience all the symptoms of what I was going through. Some other symptoms were, even I'd have I hope I'm getting this term right. Sometimes I get them all mixed up. Bilateral blindness moments. To where it'd be like a veil would just go over my vision in a way. And then pretty scary stuff. And so, and even in those moments, God would hold. But again, it was just so cool to watch how God would sustain and equip and anoint for when I had to do something. And that, to go back to another question you said asked earlier, it's one of those things that's also what kept me humble. That's also what kept me realizing I cannot do this apart from the Lord's strength. And I have to just rely on His Spirit right now. And I praise God for that. And that's something I've had to wrestle with because, you know, I mean, you're a phenomenal musician. And
am I?
yeah, you are. and then, but sometimes with this injury, that would be some things like with theory and whatnot, still to this day, just there's some things that just takes me longer to get, right?
Yeah.
And yet when I had to stretch or when I had to learn, God would give me a grace for that. And sometimes it would drive me crazy. Sometimes it still drives me a little crazy, but there's a beauty in it too, where it's God's also been breaking chains in my life in that way too, where you're not going to walk on your own strength. You're not going to walk in the timing of yourself or other people. You're not going to do things normally. You have to rely on me and my lead. And you have to learn to be extra sensitive to it.
Yes.
Now, does that mean we don't take care of our bodies?
Of course not. Yes, sir.
With my last concussion, which just was before worship well this year.
And I know,
I was out. I was down and out. Like I couldn't do a thing for 2 months.
Well, you still showed up and led worship. And that was a miracle.
You got to realize this. That was the first time I'd been on a bigger stage with lights and louder sounds. Yeah. And you told me like, it's just going to be a nice acoustic set. And I love it. And then all of a sudden, Brother Kalen's like, "Hey, can I come play pads?" And we all know that means he's gonna show out, you know, for the Lord. And so, God bless you, Kalen, if you're watching this.
He's gonna watch it.
But it was great. And suddenly, a drummer shows up. It's like, okay, great. Then the bassist shows up. It's like, okay. Oh, the electric guitar shows up. They were amazing, and it was awesome. But even in that, I felt the Lord hold. So that entire time, and it set me up for some other things God was preparing for me to do.
Yes, sir.
In the near future after that. But again, I've come to discover that sometimes the cost of worship means we have to worship through the questions. I love Pat Barrett's song, The Way. It's a new horizon and I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts... Yes. They can all come to because they can't stay long when I'm here with you.
Yes, sir.
I think a lot of Christians in the West adopted a mentality, and sometimes it affects the rest of the world too, where when we get to worshiping with the body of Christ and as a church, we have to leave everything behind and just have a good old time. Or it has to all get fixed in a moment.
Yes, sir.
I don't see that in scripture.
No.
I see it can happen. So I've seen miracles happen in a second. I've seen transformations and addiction broken in a second. You know, I've seen that. So I don't doubt it. And in different ways, I've experienced that in my own life too. Just God breaking through in a moment, especially with fears. But I think a lot of times we need to remember healing's meant to be a journey.
Yes.
A step-by-step thing.
Yes.
And yes, it's similar to when we look at the book of Daniel. God answered Daniel's prayer right away by sending a messenger. But it took the messenger a while to get there because of the whole spiritual battle and what was going on. So Daniel just kept praying.
Yep.
Similarly, sometimes we just got to keep going in wisdom, but knowing that God's our portion. He will bring the manifestation of His healing in due time.
Amen.
And sometimes part of the healing is He works on what's inside first.
Yes.
And then it begins to work its way outward.
Yes.
So that we're ready to keep enduring whatever the cost for the sake of Christ.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. Wow. Man, thank you for sharing that. I understand how difficult that is, you know, to tell people about a good God you know, and then you're still believing God for something.
Yeah, and you're all like you said, you're all hunched up at the same time, right?
You've seen many people get healed around you, like instant miracles and the rest of it, and you keep asking, is it me? Is something wrong with me? But one thing that's fascinating about everything you've shared is the fact that that has not stopped you from not just worshiping, but also leading others in worship. Because sometimes, you know, we can assume that, or we can get to a place where, and I know people personally who have left the faith completely, or who have stopped serving God, or let alone worshiping or leading worship, just because God didn't do what they asked him to do. And I know that could be very hard sometimes to digest, like, how can you say you're good and all that? Mm-hmm. But to see someone like you who models that, like, you're really living the scripture you read, you know. Mm-hmm. Paul was praying, God, take this away. And God said, I'm not going to take it away, but I'll give you grace. Yeah. In the midst of it, I'm going to supply grace. And that is encouraging because, like you said, you know, healing sometimes is a journey.
Yeah.
It's not just instant. And it's really still loving Jesus and still trusting that God is faithful in the midst of all that.
Yeah. And learning who you are in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Because when we do that, that brings some of the greatest healing, which is we stop the inner doubt and cycles about all of the distractions that the enemy tries to throw at us.
Yes.
And again, like I said, none of us are perfect. I'm certainly...
Absolutely.
Perfect.
No, of course not.
But it's, I think when Jesus says, be perfect or be holy as I am, what he's trying to say to us is our surrender needs to line up with his.
Yes.
Because he surrendered fully to the will of the Father. Yep. And he did it perfectly.
Yeah.
But in every way. But we can be fully abandoned in our surrender to God, no matter what's coming. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say to us, not only in that passage, but I think to this generation of worshipers right now.
Mm-hmm.
Be fully abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Yeah.
And don't throw platitudes around. Mm. Don't throw cheap phrases around.
Yes, yes.
You know? Learn to walk with me. And I will show you the way. I love, I believe it was in Isaiah where it's talking about the Spirit, saying the Spirit will say, this is the way.
Walk in it.
Yep. Yes, right? Mm-hmm. I love that passage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, sometimes we have to work through our stubbornness. We have
to
work through our doubts and all that stuff. But we can still obey in the midst of that.
Yeah. Because even Jesus, right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, like when he was about to, he actually prayed and said, God, take this away. I don't want to go through
this. There's any other way.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
But then he ended up submitting and surrendering to the will of the Father.
Exactly.
He said, not my will, but yours be done.
Exactly. And then through that, it begins to limit how much we're going to get caught up in those distractions,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Because our focus keeps coming back to God. Mm. And I think that's what the heart of worship is anyways. It's coming back, you know, to the heart of worship.
Heart of worship, yeah.
And
you might as well sing it. You started it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You might as well sing the song now.
Yeah. Sorry?
You might as well sing the song now. You started
to the heart of worship. Why? Because it's all about you.
There you go.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Yes,
you
know? Yes,
but then
yes.
That next line. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made
it.
You know, because we can make it to so
many things.
Many things.
Yes.
We actually at the conference we started singing Nothing Else, right?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then
that was just a beautiful moment, right?
That was amazing. That was one of those core memories, right? I'm trying to sound like the cool kids these days. So it's a core memory that just people latched onto Nothing Else But You.
Nothing else. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was something you said. I want to kind of link everything we've been speaking about to actually, for the people that actually serve in the worship ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everything we shared is for them too, but I want to be as practical as possible.
Let's go.
You said something about realizing that even the things you've had to deal with your health and everything, that how that caused you to rely more on God.
Yeah.
So that before you get on the stage, you know that I need your help to even climb up the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and while I'm on that stage, I need your help. Like, because I could lose it. Like, so I don't experience all the symptoms while I'm mm-hmm. there. And so still give me the grace to do it. And sometimes as people in the worship ministry, sometimes it's almost like asking God, help me not to forget.
Yeah.
Help me not to forget. Give me something to make me rely more on you, more dependent on you.
Yeah.
You know, like some people say, yeah, they get nervous before they sing. I'm like, that's a great place to be. The day you feel confident in yourself,
yeah.
you stop relying on God.
Yeah, it can be very easy.
Yeah, you build that self-confidence, right? Yeah, I don't need God anymore. Yeah. I can just do this on my own.
Exactly.
And even though yours is a bit of an extreme,
yeah,
but that thing still helps you to stay in that place of dependency on God.
Yeah.
Now, someone said that God wants to lead us to maturity, not to independence.
Mm. That's good. I like that.
He wants us to grow up, to be more mature, to grow up in Christ and to grow up from being a child and just be a matured Christian.
Yeah.
But it's not leading us to independence.
That's right. And it's also not leading us to codependence on other people.
On other people. You go.
And that even goes to, for those of us who are married.
Yes, yes.
You know, and for those of us who are in a ministry team.
Yes.
Yeah, we work together.
Mm-hmm.
We help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to scripture, we help raise the arms of those around us. Mm-hmm. In Acts 2, we share everything
mm-hmm.
and help each other.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we depend on anyone else but Christ. Yeah.
So, and it's still saying that, God, I need you.
Yep, exactly.
I need you. Without you, I'll fail. Like even what the Bible said in the book of John 15, it said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
And this is what I tell people. I said, you can do a lot. A lot.
Yep.
Without him.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what you do. A million times zero is still zero.
That's it.
It doesn't matter. Like, you can build whatever you want and say, I'm doing it without God. By the end of your life, he said, without me, you can do nothing. So if you didn't do it with him, it's still zero at the end of the day.
Yep. And see, a miracle just happened, folks. A musician just did math. And he was correct. So that's...
I love that.
So you just proved that scripture right there.
It is.
but you're absolutely right. And I think that you have to discover the balance between responsibility and relying on God.
Yes. Talk about it.
Well, again, one of the things that has helped me along the way are vocal warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Saved my voice from burnout, is preserved my voice when I couldn't properly breathe and couldn't properly actually, sing from the diaphragm or even the mixed voice. Like, the vocal warm-ups helped keep things afloat with the Lord's help. And that's great. But again, as my body's got a little stronger over the years at times, you can easily just begin to lean on that, right? I can do the runs now. I can sing however high or however mm-hmm, low mm-hmm. I want to now. Well, I'm still working on the low part, but anyways. But, you can get to that place where mm-hmm. everything is pretty smooth and comfortable. But you still have to rely on God. What does that look like? And I think, again, I hope I make sense when I say this. It's about leaving room in your life to need God. Because we can crowd out that part of our life and heart and mind with I need to be responsible. I need to be excellent. There's another word that's true, but we idolize way too much. Or I need to sound like the other people, right?
Yeah.
It can easily go there.
Yep,
but so I need to do all these things in order to give God my best. Okay, maybe there's some truth to parts of that.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean you give up the need for following his spirit in the moment, right?
Yes.
Because then other times, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been in a worship session and it gets into the spontaneous, and it doesn't feel spontaneous anymore.
No.
And I'm not about, I'm not against people practicing how to be good musicians and go on the flow and be able to call things just like that. Like there's some incredible MDs
that have that gift
and they just know where to go with it and it's great. And it can sound similar sometimes, but I often find in worship that even if it sounds similar, if it's still fresh when they're seeking the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
What makes a lot of songs stand out? It's not because they always sound incredibly different from others.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and in our case as worshipers, the Spirit is behind that moment.
Yes.
You know? And that's what differentiates from someone just repeating something over and over again to try to sound like someone, or, you know, we got to keep this moment going so that we feel spiritual, you know, to what we were experiencing at the worship well and many other times of our life as worshipers, just like, oh, we just don't want to leave this moment.
Yeah.
And God's telling us not to. And it's great because sometimes it invokes a moment of surrender for the church.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it invokes just suddenly people are finally able to be free in joy. They've been stuck in it. And sometimes they just need to repeat it a little bit. Look at the Psalms.
Yeah.
They are so repetitive sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we write a bridge that's repetitive because it's catchy.
Because, yeah.
It's a mindset thing for me. It's about
a moment. Yeah.
Being responsible, but not crowding out reliance on God again.
Absolutely. And I've always said that.
Yeah.
Moments in worship, either is spontaneous or not, when it's not directed and led by the Holy Spirit, it's just confusion and chaos.
Yes. And we see that's that in 1 Corinthians 14.
Yeah. And it's just flesh that's just manifesting at that point, right?
Exactly.
But when the Holy Spirit takes over, you will know when it's there and when it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because the thing about it is, even when I'm on the keys and when you know the Spirit of God is there, I'm tempted to stop playing. That's not the time I want to play. Because it's here.
Yeah.
What do I have to play? Literally, what do I have to play? Like, he's here.
Yeah.
And he's doing what he wants to do with his people.
Yeah.
And I'm not needed anymore.
Well, and that's, I think that's our job.
That's our job, to not be needed. To not be needed. Like, get out of the way. Let him do what he wants to do. Like, why are you here?
Well, exactly. And I think that that's the beauty of it, too. Sometimes at my church, we just stop for a moment. We just stop everything. We just be still.
Yeah.
And again, it's good to train up musicians
absolutely
to be able to flow in that moment and work with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound funny for some of our listeners who are listening and thinking, who is this charismaniac saying that stuff, you know? But like, but you see it throughout Scripture.
Yep.
The musicians, they wrote music in the Psalms and the musicians that David chose in like First Chronicles 16, they were excellent in their craft.
Yep.
But you look at the Psalms that were written as well, it reflected the story.
Yes, sir.
The thankfulness. And they wrote the music in light of that as well. Music to match the joy, the sorrow, the thankfulness, the hope, the how long, O Lord? And so we need to teach musicians how to work in those moments.
Yes,
but
sir.
Also, and I mean, this is every musician, we have to learn how to just leave the space.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes that means we don't need more noise.
We
I have friends.
Less.
Yeah. Well, I have some friends that come up to me, God love them, and they're like, we can't have dead space. And I'm like, there's a time and a place where I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I really do. But then there's a time and a space where we got to forget that principle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's becoming an idol sometimes.
Absolutely.
That we always need noise because it's a distraction from God. Because we, and I see this at the retreat center too. When people come away, that's just the first step.
First step, yes.
And it's hard. It's hard for people to come away because they realize there's going to be a reckoning with God in those moments. But when they do come,
Yeah.
And they make that choice. The hard part after that is to just let go of all the noise in their life.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
And for a while, we had really bad country internet.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because people would try to log in. They're like, oh, I'm going to get my Spotify going. Wouldn't even work for Spotify sometimes. And it would just drive them nuts. They'd come down. They'd be like, there's no noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were frightened.
Because we're used to noise.
That's right. That's right. And so that's why we just got to have space for everything and leave space for us to hear from God.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not just the little phrases that make us feel good.
No.
Or that we're used to.
Right?
Yeah,
let him speak. Let's talk about some ministry and leadership stuff.
Go for it.
What does it cost to lead a team into true worship rather than just creating good music? Like, how do you manage that? Like, you know, I know you're a good musician, you're a good leader, a worship leader and a singer, but how do you manage that we're not just singing good songs, we're not just creating good music? Like, how do you lead people into true worship? How do you do that with your team?
First of all, I do my best, so far as it depends on me, to make sure that the team is prepared music or creatively and spiritually.
Okay.
So I try to make sure that the people on my team are trying to live a life of integrity before the Lord, because that's what matters.
Yes.
We've lost what it means to be holy. You know?
Say it. Yes.
Which means set apart. Yeah. Which means we don't look like the world.
Yes, we don't look like the world. Know? Yes.
Now, we can still find favor in the eyes of the world. We see that precedent.
Absolutely.
Within even the early church in many cases.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we look like them. It doesn't mean we act like them. And so, again, as far as it depends on me, I try to make sure that the team is on the same trajectory in that way, right? Again, not perfect people, but just people that are willing to go the next step and grow.
Yes, sir.
And keep growing.
Yes, sir.
And that they're walking with the Lord as well, right?
Yes.
Especially in a position of leadership.
Very important, yes.
And I think that's the cool part of the journey, that fellowship actually encourages and brings a joy to the worship we have.
Yes, sir.
At the very least, a focus, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that. It's just developing good community. Mm-hmm. If you have the opportunity to be planted in a church and develop that community, develop it well.
Yes, sir.
You know, have team potlucks.
Yes.
Have team outings. In an appropriate and healthy way, invite some of your team members to just go to a coffee shop, you know, get to know their story, see how they're doing from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff goes a long way.
Know the people that you actually serve with.
Yeah. Talk with them on Sunday when they're not scheduled.
You know?
And again, you might not be able to do that for everyone in terms of going out for just to meet somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, just little words of encouragement, seeing
absolutely
how are you doing and actually meaning that question.
Yes.
And not just answering back, oh, I'm great.
Yeah. You know,
being real about it, just being real with your life. So that's one thing there.
Yeah.
But on the, again, back to the responsibility of being as excellent in our worship and praise as possible. Don't leave your team hanging.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this young and I never could let it go. As much as you can prepare your team, get them ready.
Yes.
Because then if we're well prepared ahead of time, we're going to be able to not be as focused on the music in the moment, but it'll give us space to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
So that we can lead well. Worship.
Yes.
And keep our eyes open, right?
Yes.
And or just pray beneath our breath.
Yes.
Right. Because I think a lot of times we don't realize we can be praying the entire time we're worshiping, because it is a prayer.
It is prayer.
It is prayer.
Yeah.
He reveals, we respond.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, and it's
that is worship.
It's worship. Wow. It's and praise so too, right? Like, it's so cool when we think of how that all flows together.
Yes, sir.
But on a just a bit more of a practical note, you know, if you can't do it all on your own, see if there's some other people in your church or ministry team that can help you prepare.
Yes.
You know, honor their time and whatnot, and don't overuse it. Learn from them if you can, but if this is part of their joy of serving, let them at it. But make sure your vocalists are ready to go. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, you're on alto.
Yeah.
You're on to, like, make a harmony tutorial.
Yeah.
Or find one on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Set them up for success.
That's right. Get a, get an MP3 of the song in the correct key. Folks, I'm telling
that's
you.
That's true. Yeah,
we have so much technology. We have no excuse anymore.
Absolutely.
All right.
You can get that up. Absolutely.
And it takes time to learn that stuff, but it's worth it. Let me tell you, I can show up at a rehearsal now, and my team is all practiced in the right key if they read the notes.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
You know, if they read the notes, they'll know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They'll have at least, if I can't make or find a tutorial for their instrument, at least they can practice the song in the right key with some notes, a sequence, BPM, time signature information, the lyrics, the right chord charts, the capo charts, harmony tracks, just those things.
That's good.
It just, it's a lot of work up front, I realize.
Yes.
But it makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
And your team all of a sudden shows up and they're actually happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, wow, we feel respected.
Yeah.
We don't feel used.
So supported, yeah.
And it leaves more room for fellowship. It leaves more room for us to be thankful again. It just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Awesome. No, you've given real good advice for worship teams, for worship pastors, for... I think you've summed it all up, and it was so great.
If you have planning center, use it to the fullest.
Maximize that.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God.
So I think for me, what I wanted to ask you as we start to kind of wind down a little bit is, how do you encourage young worship leaders to count the cost before stepping into the ministry? Because, you know, sometimes people are attracted to the wrong things. They love the spotlight. They love the title. They love all the perks, all the things that comes with it.
Yeah.
But then they don't want to pay the price.
Yeah.
Even Jesus said that if you must come after me,
yes,
there is a price to pay.
That's right.
Pick up your cross.
Bingo.
Daily and walk with me and follow me.
Yeah.
And so I would you encourage young worship leaders out there who are aspiring, you know, they feel called into the ministry of worship and all that. How would you encourage them to maybe slow down a little bit and count the cost and know that this will cost a lot more than the things you see on the outside?
Mm-hmm. I hear their story to start.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I audition a young person for my church's team, or whenever I'm at a ministry event such as the CCC retreats up at Camp Careth, where a bunch of youth groups from around the region gather together, and the youth are really helping lead the creative tech and service elements, many of the service elements in there. I want to get to know their story a bit. I want to hear their heart first. And then at that point, I just want to give them opportunity, you know. And sometimes there's a moment, like even at my church, there's a young drummer that just joined our team, and he's killing it. He's killing it. But when he first auditioned, I was like, he's going to be great, but he's not ready just yet musically.
Yes.
It's going to discourage him more than anything. But I told him, we're going to come back to this in a few months. Here's something to practice. And please keep practicing. We're going to keep in touch. And I stayed true to the word. We did come back to it a few months later.
That's good.
And the kid was ready.
Yes.
And he's having a great time. 15.
Oh, wow.
14 or 15. He's rocking it.
That's so cool.
And again, though, it's because he got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make mistakes at times.
Absolutely.
I don't care.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
I don't care. I'd rather have someone go up there and give a great big voice crack or completely miss the cut. Mm-hmm. But they're learning, okay, I actually have to learn how to be responsible with this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I can't just rely on my skill, my natural skill. Mm-hmm. But also have a model of whenever we talk, I'm bringing it back to Christ.
Yes, yes.
Whenever we talk, you know, I'm not sharing everything that's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, it's been a hard week.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling really tired going into this, but yes, it's worth it.
Yes, sir.
It's not to boast in ourselves, but it's that reminder to these young people that, hey, we do this whenever we pray. I love Brandon Lake. I love the song. I praise you anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to praise him no matter what.
Yes, sir.
And so just the little things, it doesn't always take a seminar.
No,
it's just a step-by-step, service by service, mm-hmm, moment by moment.
Yeah.
See, and also taking as much as Plan to Protect allows, taking time to, because you got to honor that too, especially in our day and age.
Absolutely.
Because people have messed up
absolutely
this part
absolutely
too, right?
Absolutely.
So we got to be very wise in stewarding this.
Absolutely.
But get to know them.
Get to
like
know them.
Some of the, like, there's some young men at my church who I'm so honored God's given an open door to just meet with on a regular basis.
Gotcha.
And they started on the worship team. Mm-hmm. And now we just get to get together and chat and see how they're doing and pray.
Yeah.
And I love that, because that's what it all comes back to in the end. Mm-hmm. Seeing that this is life for Christ.
Yes.
And if they stay in creative music, mm-hmm, great.
Yeah.
And if they don't, but they're walking with the Lord, great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so really it's just giving them the tools they need, showing them how to lead, showing them how to get the prep stuff ready as well.
Yeah.
You know, teaching them how to pick keys. That's, you know, but it just, all that stuff, it's just a step-by-step thing for me.
Right.
And not, not making them into little adults.
Yes, yes, yes.
We need useful worship.
Let them be youthful. Yeah.
Yeah, let them be youthful. Let them have fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's so good. That's so good. All right. And this is one question I always try to see and hear people's perspective on. If you could see one thing shift in the culture of worship teams.
Just one? No.
I mean, at least one.
Oh dear. No, we better stick with one.
Yeah, I know there's probably more. I have a list. So, but if you could, okay, give me one.
Yep.
If you could see one thing shift in the culture of worship teams, what would it be and why? Why not you?
Oh man. It shouldn't be a tough answer for me, mm-hmm, to fully describe where my heart and mind goes on this one. But it is, because I think we as humans make stuff so much more complicated than we need to.
Yeah.
And so for the sake of keeping things simple, I think that's my answer. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
This is about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is about encountering him. This is about glorifying him. Mm-hmm. This is about we get to start eternally worshiping and praising God now.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace, that just continues.
Yes, yes.
Even after our bodies die, mm-hmm, even after our vocal cords give out,
yeah,
even
yeah
after our fingers, mm-hmm, can't, mm-hmm, play an instrument anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I think for me, it's just don't overcomplicate it. Remember the focus. And I talked a bit about this at the worship well as well. and don't overcomplicate it in terms of who is on your team. Mm. We need all ages.
Yes, yes, you did. Yep.
We need all stages of the faith journey.
Yeah.
It, obviously, being careful of, again, who's in leadership. Scripture is very clear about that. Yeah, you know, you don't just throw anyone into the fire, because like it's there's a price to pay.
Absolutely.
The spiritual battle is real.
Yep.
And
100%.
And again, and that's an, but that's another part of not overcomplicating it. Recognize the enemy is going to try to distract.
Absolutely, it will.
Learn how to walk in discernment. That's Romans 12 again.
Absolutely.
Right? Learn how to walk in the discernment of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you see things, your instinct isn't to panic, but to pray internally.
Yes, sir.
Your instinct is to actually, you know what? I'm just going to either transition to a more prayerful worship for a second, or I'm just going to keep going, and we're going to just keep simply worshiping the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So again, just learning how to not let distractions rule, not let fanciness rule, not let laziness
rule,
which that all complicates
things. Absolutely, absolutely.
Bring it back to Jesus.
Yes,
focus
sir.
On him and give him the honor he is due. That yes, means sir. We do our best, but more than that, we live our best.
Amen. Amen. Yes. No, thank you for sharing that. And I've always said that one of the ways by which we guard the art of worship is by making it about nothing but Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
Once we start bringing in mixtures, and it's a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and it's no longer about him, then we have a problem.
Well,
and like you said, we start getting complicated.
Yeah.
Even the gospel, the Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel.
Yes.
The simplicity of the gospel. And worship should not be a complicated thing.
No.
If Jesus is the focus, and if it's about him, it's the simplest thing we could ever do.
And that's it. Like, there's this one church I would lead worship, musical worship at for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those interesting situations where they always wanted a big band and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But just with some stuff going on in the church at the time, that just wasn't as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember it was just me and a drummer.
Oh, wow.
Most days. I'm on my acoustic guitar, piano, and electronic drum kit and for the drummer, and we were going for it. We'd go for 2 hours or 3 hours sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It was great times. But some people would get concerned when they would see that. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's not big enough. You know?
Yeah.
It's, oh no, that's going to sound empty.
Mm-hmm.
And the craziest thing for me is that throughout the years, people would come up to me or the techs at the back, and they would say, those were great backing tracks you guys had.
Well, I was just the two of us.
Wait, you didn't have backing tracks?
No.
At the time, I was kind of like, what's a backing track? Like, I was still pretty young. Like, it was just one of those things where it was like, God filled the space. And I mean, thank God for inversions too. But like,
absolutely,
you know,
that
like,
really helped too.
It does help. But again,
it's
sometimes we just got to let it be simple. And it always, certainly from within the heart and mind, we got to keep it simple. But musically even as well.
Absolutely.
Tech-wise even. We have so much capability these days, which is good. It's awesome. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And we got to give honor to our techs because they do so much.
Yeah. But it could easily take us away from simplicity.
But it can easily take us away or tech us away from...
tech us away. Simplicity. I love that one.
Come on.
Yeah, I love that. Tech us away from simplicity. No, you're actually right. Yeah, actually. And I think that's the key. That's the truth. We should strive to keep it simple by making it all about him.
Yeah.
And it's, what do you want? And we'll do what he wants us to do. And as long as he is pleased.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
He is pleased with what we did. And,
yes.
And most of the time, like you said, we can make excellence an idol.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can try. Okay, yeah, we just want it to be well done, to be great. But then that could in itself could become an idol. And it's no longer about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I understand it could be very complicated sometimes to balance these things, you know, to be excellent, yet still keep it all about Jesus.
That's right.
But we still got to know that at the end of the day, it's got to be about him. Our focus, we cannot take our focus away from him.
Amen.
Well, Amen. Thank you so much, man. It's been a great conversation. Just before we go,
sure.
I want you to look at your younger self. I know you probably still say I'm still young, but I get that.
Some days I don't feel it.
But look at your younger self, like an emerging worship leader.
Sure.
Who right now, maybe they feel overlooked or discouraged.
Wow. Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I get a little emotional here.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Yes.
It's not about the opportunity. It's not about the sound. Mm. It's not about the promise of people in your life saying, oh, I'm going to give you this opportunity and chance. And then they go back on it, whether it's because of their own jealousy or things change or the timing isn't right. Just keep following Jesus.
Yes.
Not just on the platform, not just to get on the platform. Mm-hmm. Keep following him.
Yeah.
Keep loving him. Get to know him. And that changes everything.
Absolutely.
Because then you don't care about the opportunities. It's just everything is a blessing.
Yeah.
From that point. I remember there was this... there's one instance where it was a very, very, very special ministry in my life. It still is a very special ministry in my life where I was a young emerging musical worship leader. And I was saying to the Lord one day as we were worshiping at this ministry, I was like, man, I would love to lead musical worship at this someday, Lord, because I love seeing what you do here. I'd love to be part of that in that way. Mm-hmm. But it's not my will.
Yes, but it's will.
And then I put it on the shelf.
Mm. Yes.
And eventually it did happen out of the blue. I didn't ask for it. I didn't contend for it.
Yeah.
I didn't jump at any opportunity. Because sometimes a door might open and we can jump at it, right?
Yes, yes.
But God opened the door.
Yeah.
When my heart was ready for it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the key.
And that's the key. Sometimes our hearts aren't ready for it.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they are, and God's just giving us a break so we'll have the strength for it.
Yes.
I with my injuries, there was a lot of opportunities that I couldn't say yes to.
Yes, sir.
At times. I still was called to say yes to a lot, but sometimes the things that would seem a bit more obvious, I would feel God say, no, not yet, including my church. They actually asked me to come on staff a few times throughout the years, even when I was much younger. And every time God kept saying, no, not yet. And I went, but Lord, it's perfect for my injuries. It's part-time. It's great. No, not yet. Then it was in the middle of COVID that I'd completely surrendered that. And God said, okay, now you can go for it. I went, what? It's in COVID now, Lord. This is the worst time. And he said, you can go for it.
Wow.
And it turned out it was actually the perfect time.
Amen. Amen.
So in the end, just don't rush anything.
Yes.
And I'm going to say something weird. Don't trust the process. Trust Jesus.
That is a word. Trusting the process is not biblical.
No, it's not biblical.
And trust Jesus.
Trust Jesus. And yeah, there's a right and the wrong way to go about many things. So don't ignore that.
Absolutely.
But trust Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And it's not about you being a leader anyways.
No.
It's like you said, it's about working ourselves out of a job and so that or out of the spotlight. Yeah. We're not needed anymore.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, you've said it all. If you're a young person out there, let me look at you in the camera right there. And you know, the scripture says in Matthew 6:33, says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you.
That's it.
We're not supposed to seek things. No. We're meant to seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness.
Come on.
The moment you start seeking things, you've missed it. Opportunities, platforms, stages, anything. The moment you start making that your focal point, that's what you're after, you're going in the wrong direction. But he said, if you seek him first, if you seek his kingdom first, all these other things, they are meant to be added to you. And so you want to keep God as the center, keep Jesus as the focus, keep following Jesus. And when he opens that door, it's not about the door, it's still about him.
That's it.
But if you make the door your focus, when you go through that door, you forget about him. So keep Jesus at the center of it. He has not forgotten about you. And like my friend said here, don't give up. Don't give up. You are after him at the end of the day. It's not about the platform or any other thing. It's still Jesus at the end of the day. You know, Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what's the point of everything if we gain everything and we don't have him? So yeah, be encouraged.
Man.
You may feel overlooked and you may feel discouraged right now, but make your journey, your Christian walk, make it about Jesus and not about the things that he gives us. Thank you, Josiah.
Preach it, brother.
It's been a great time just talking. I know we could sit here all day on this chat.
This is such a joy.
Because there's so much to talk about, but I'm so grateful that we could do this together. Thank Amen. You for coming. And you never know, you may be back on this seat again. So we might actually do another episode. So,
Amen.
But I'm so grateful for the conversations we've had today. I know it's going to be a blessing to everybody that hears this. So thank you for pouring out your heart. Thank you for being transparent. Thank you for being open with the things even you are struggling with and you still believing God for. I know they're very deep and they're very, very, very attached to your heart. So thank you for... And I know some people would find healing through your story as well.
Amen.
And like I told you last time we met, I'm still believing God with you.
Amen.
For a full, total healing.
Amen.
And we won't stop believing for that.
Amen.
So it's good to see you, brother.
You too, brother. And thank you for this time. It's such a blessing.
And to everybody, thank you for watching this. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for being a part of this conversation. If this has been a blessing to you, make sure you share with someone. You never know. That might be something they need as well. If you're not following or not subscribed, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on all our platforms. And we're going to bring more conversations like this, just real conversations about Jesus, about worship, to help us to grow and to love and to lead like Jesus led. So thank you. Until next time, I'll see you soon. God bless you. Bye for now.